Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians, please, this evening. Pray for Brother Gilbert Anger, who'll be with us next Sunday morning reporting on his ministry. He's been out and about a little, so pray for him. He'll be with us for the main service this coming Sunday morning, preaching the word and also giving us an update concerning his past and ministry to come. Philippians chapter 3, I'd like to look at the life of the Apostle Paul and note some principles concerning living with purpose. Living with purpose, setting goals for life. That's the title of my sermon this evening, Living with Purpose, Setting Goals for Life. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Down to verse 12, please. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now as though I had already attained, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be exalted this evening. We pray that you would fill us now with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need. May we live with purpose on this side of eternity. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. From the first mention of Paul in the scriptures, who was known as Saul the persecutor, we find him living with purpose. In Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, we find him persecuting the church of Jesus Christ, persecuting God's people. He purposed to propagate Judaism by killing and persecuting Christians. If you go to Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9, verse number 1. So the Apostle Paul, at this point in his life, known as Saul of Tarsus, in chapter 9, verse number 1, it reads, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." So we find, as we study Saul of Tarsus, we find a man living with purpose. Now, God gloriously saved him. He was on a mission to cause greater havoc to the people of God, seeking permission and authority from his superiors to do so. And while on this road leading to Damascus, God got a hold of his heart. And he confessed Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of his life. Note then verse number 6, it reads of Acts chapter 9, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord." Who did he call Lord? Jesus Christ. Back in verse number 5. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved." Amen. So he confessed Jesus as his Lord. In other words, he confessed Jesus Christ as his personal Messiah. God gloriously saved him and created within him a new life of purpose. And straight away in verse number 6, within his same sentence of confession of Christ as Savior, he said, "Lord, Lord, a Savior, and also Lord, Lord, Master, What wilt thou have me to do? God saved him and created within him a new purpose. In chapter 15 of the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 15. Pardon me, go back to chapter 9. It's chapter 9, verse number 15. Acts chapter 9, verse number 15. The Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. See, Saul of Tarsus lived with purpose. He was determined to persecute the church of Jesus Christ. And here in Acts chapter 9, he's converted. He's converted to Christ. He becomes a Bible-believing Christian. And yet, it doesn't change concerning the determination of the great Apostle Paul to live his life with purpose. And as we look at Philippians chapter 3 this evening, I'd like for us to note this great man of God. Even as an unbeliever, he lived with purpose, had some goals in life. But more so, as a believer, he lived with purpose and had some specific goals for his life. What is your purpose? We need to work it out and establish goals towards that end. This man had a specific calling upon his life. God said to the Apostle Paul in Acts 9:15 that you are a chosen vessel to bear my name unto the Gentiles. God had a purpose for Saul of Tarsus. And so likewise, God has a purpose for your life. And we need to work out what is that life purpose and set goals towards that end. This man had a specific calling upon his life. Therefore, his goals were harmonious with his life purpose. What is your life purpose? And once we work that out, or our life purposes, there might be a number for you, we need to have goals that harmonize with those purposes or one purpose. Here in verse number 10, his life purpose is as follows. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him. The Apostle Paul said, one of my life purposes is to draw closer to the God that saved me by his grace, that I may know him. So the Apostle Paul had a purpose in mind to draw closer to his Lord and Savior. In other words, it was a priority in his life. His close development within this relationship was of utmost importance to the great Apostle Paul. He said that I may know him. I want to know my Lord intimately. Is that with you this evening? Or is our relationship with the Lord like most of our relationships that remain at a status quo point? Stop and think of our general relationships one with another. For most relationships, if the truth be known, they remain at a status quo point. Between 1 to 10, they might be on 3 for some and 5 for others and 7 for others, but generally there is very little move. There are very few relationships that we strive towards working on. And I think so often we as God's people can be as guilty within our relationship with the Lord. And I like to think in 2010 that you are striving to know your Lord just a little bit more intimately. In James chapter 4, the Bible teaches us if we will draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to us. So the Apostle Paul said, one of my life purposes is to know the Lord more so, to walk closely with Him. Then he went on to say in verse 10, he also said that I may know Him and know the power of His resurrection. This man of God had a purpose in mind in desiring a greater manifestation of God's power upon his life. He understood the work of God requires supernatural power. In fact, to live the Christian life requires supernatural power, does it not? To raise a family for the glory of God requires supernatural power. To stay pure and holy requires supernatural power. To live consistently for the glory of Christ, if we are to do so effectively, we need the power of God upon our lives. If God were to take the Holy Spirit from us, most of us wouldn't even realize it, the truth be known. If God would hypothetically, and He wouldn't, be contrary to Scripture, but just think hypothetically, if God the Father would simply say to the Spirit of God, okay, Spirit, come home, leave all the redeemed, the average Christian wouldn't realize. Life would be no different, because the average Christian ignores the presence of the Spirit of God. That's the truth, is it not? But that wasn't the Apostle Paul. He lived with purpose. He said, I want to know my Lord more intimately. But I also want a greater manifestation of God's power upon my life. That's a good life purpose. Then he went on to say in verse number 10, that I may know Him, relationship, that I may know the power of His resurrection, a greater manifestation of God's supernatural enabling upon His life. But also he went on to say in verse 10, that I may know the fellowship of His sufferings, plural, being made conformable unto His death. The Apostle Paul not only had a life purpose of knowing Christ more intimately, had a life purpose of desiring God's power upon his life, but also the Apostle Paul said, I want to know firsthand experience what it means to suffer for my Lord. And as we take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ, we will grow in our relationship with the Lord. And we will see a greater manifestation of God's power in our life. But we'll have to be prepared to suffer. We'll have to be prepared to suffer. The Apostle Paul said, I want to know in a greater way what it means to suffer for Jesus Christ. Because he understood if he was to know God more intimately, if he was to have a greater manifestation of God's power upon his life, it'll come at a price. It'll have to be paid. The price of suffering. There is no easy road to Christ's likeness, brethren. This means complete surrender to God's will. And when you and I surrender fully to the will of God and determine to know Him and have a greater measure of God's power upon our lives, then we need to be prepared to suffer a little bit more. It amazes me when you read the biographies of great men and women of God. Each one became such at a price. At a dear price. I'm yet to read the life story of a single man of God or woman of God who did not in some shape or form pay a dear price for their great influence. And this is what the Apostle Paul understood. When God called him, God said to the Apostle Paul, "Now you will be my representative to the Gentile nation, but you will suffer for my sake." God said it from the very start. Put yourself in Paul's place. Imagine how he would have felt. If God had said to you, "Now, I've called you to be my witness, but you're going to suffer." How would you feel? How did the Apostle Paul feel? I believe he took that on board, and with spiritual maturity and understanding, he understood, if I really want to know God, if I really want to have a greater manifestation of God's power upon my life, then I need to be prepared to suffer. I need to enter into the fellowship, the communion of his sufferings, plural. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we read of many of the sufferings that the Apostle Paul endured for the sake of his Saviour. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and review. See, to know the Lord more intimately comes at a price. To have a greater manifestation of God's power, it comes with a price tag. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it reads in verse 25, "Thrice or three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice, three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness or desert, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger." The Apostle Paul hungered. He thirsted. He endured the pain and suffering of choosing to fast. Fastings often. At times he got cold. Felt naked, unclothed. "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." See, the Apostle Paul was a great man. He had a great manifestation of God's power upon his life. He knew God very intimately, but he did so at a price. He entered into the fellowship of Christ's sufferings and understood what it meant to be buried with Christ and to walk in newness of life. See, baptism is not only a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection in Christ, new life, but also biblical baptism is a picture of our new life in power. We have to serve God in resurrection power. We died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ in his power. So the Apostle Paul lived with purpose. He had purpose in his life. Do you have purpose for your life? I think this is a good place to start. Don't you think? That we would purpose to know the Lord more intimately. That we would purpose to have a greater manifestation of God's power. "Oh, but Pastor, I don't need that." Yes, you do. I need that. You need that. I want you to keep on keeping on. I want you to be still here in 5 years' time. Yes. In fact, I want you to be here in 10 years' time, 20 years' time. I want you to bury me. Yes. You young children, I want you to be here. But if you want to keep on keeping on, we need a greater manifestation of God's power upon our lives. And if we are to have that, then we need to be prepared to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. Pastor Freddie Arellano, on Monday night, preached a wonderful message at the Bible College opening. This man has certainly entered into the fellowship of his sufferings. man that was struck with meningitis. And now he is termed as having chronic leukemia. And he stood and opened up the scriptures on Monday night and he preached with great power. For those that were there, you know exactly what I mean. But it came with a price. He entered into the fellowship of his sufferings. Best message I'd ever heard him preach. I've heard him preach a few. That was the best yet. And that evening I thought about that. I thought, this man has had to go through the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. There is no rhyme nor reason why he was struck down and why he has leukemia. Faithfully serving the Lord. But I would like to think in the inner core of that great man of God's heart, he so desired to know the Lord, and he so desired to have the power of God upon his life, and he certainly did. And God said to him, really? Let's go. And there with a withered hand, he stood in the pulpit, opened up the scriptures, and he preached with great power. See, there's a price to pay if you want God's power upon your life. And the main point I want to stress this evening thus far is that we need to live life with purpose. Our spiritual lives with purpose. A life with purpose has goals, has principles that govern actions. And as we move on from verses 12 down to verse number 14, I'd like for us to just review some principles concerning setting some spiritual goals. So you need to work out what your life purpose is. And a good place to start is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And let's note some principles from this passage of Scripture that will help us to set some goals for life. Note there in verse number 12, the first part of verse 12, it reads in Philippians chapter 3, not as though I had already attained. The Apostle Paul had the attitude, I am striving forward. The Bible teaches us that we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to move forward, otherwise we will backslide. That's how a plane remains in the air. Those engines propel it forward and therefore it keeps that plane from dropping out of the sky. And brethren, if you and I want to be kept from dropping out of the Christian life, then we need to keep pressing forward. We need to press forward. See, the Apostle Paul said, not as though I had already attained or arrived. I haven't arrived. This is the great Apostle Paul. Now, if you were present when he said that, you and I would probably be saying, man, you're a lot further than me. Or some of us might say, I don't think you're far away. What a great man of God. When you study, he's like, what a great man of God. And yet he said, I've got to keep pressing forward. I need to continue to grow spiritually. So though Paul was a spiritual giant in the eyes of these Philippian saints, he wanted them to know that he had not yet attained. Then he went on to say in verse 12, either were already perfect. The Apostle Paul said, I'm striving forward. And as we set goals for life, they enable us to strive forward. But also he went on to say in verse 12, I'm not perfect. I haven't reached a point of perfection. See, in 2 Peter chapter 1, the Bible makes reference to adding to our faith. Spiritual growth is the journey. Christ-likeness is the ultimate destination. And we need to move from the milk of the Word unto the meat of the Word. We need to grow in spiritual maturity. And the Apostle Paul said, hey, I'm not perfect. Obviously, some believers thought he was perfect. And he said, no, don't be fooled. I'm not perfect. I'm still striving forward.
I'm still growing in the grace and knowledge of my Lord. I'm still wanting to know Him. I'm still wanting to have a greater manifestation of God's power upon my life. I'm still wanting to know what it really means to suffer for the cause of Christ. I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. You aren't perfect. And the sooner we just admit that and press forward unto Christ's likeness, the better we will be. I'm afraid that so often we can be guilty as God's people of just reaching a point, a plateau point where we think, well, I'm okay. I'm pretty spiritual. I've been a Christian for a few years now. I go to a Bible-believing church and I read the right kind of Bible and I listen to the right kind of music. I know when to say amen and I know how to dress in church and I know how to use a gospel tract. I'm okay. No, you're not. Amen. No, you're not. We need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, do we not? Some of the most carnal Christians I know have been believers for a long time. See? May it not be said of you and I. May we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. And we need to be mindful that no, we have not attained. Need to keep growing. I've been a Christian now for 32 years. I still feel like a baby. I really do. Still feel like a baby. Still growing. Need to keep growing in Christ Jesus. Note verse 12, it goes on to read, but I follow after. After, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The third lesson I'd like for us to note this evening concerning setting goals is that we need to make sure that our goals, our purposes come from Christ. They are godly ambitions, godly desires. See, these purposes that pressed the Apostle Paul forward were not devised in his mind. They came from a relationship with the Lord. And what he's teaching us in verse 12 is that we, as we consider the issue of living with purpose and having goals that are in harmony with our life purpose or purposes, we need to make sure that our goals come from Christ. That He is the one that places those goals upon our hearts. See, God speaks through the Word of God. And when that Persian king, for example, in Ezra chapter 1, King Cyrus, allowed God's people to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild, to build the temple, he said, God placed the desire in my heart. So our goals need to come from the Lord. It's one thing to have some good goals and that's fine in and of itself, but really the ultimate end for you and I is that we have some spiritual goals. Goals that come from Christ. Then we move on in verse number 13. The first part of that verse that reads, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. The fourth lesson I'd like for us to note concerning setting goals for life is that be specific in your goal setting. Number one, strive forward. Number two, be mindful of the fact that we have not reached perfection. Number three, our goals must come from a relationship with the Lord. He is the one that gives us our goals. And number four, be specific in your goal setting. Note then verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do. Be specific. All of us should have some specific goals in life that harmonize with our life purpose. Our life purpose as a Christian. Our life purpose as a husband or wife or father or mother or grandparent, employer, employee, a life stages teacher, whatever it might be, what is your purpose? And as you define this purpose that God has given to you, have some goals that are specifically laid out in light of that purpose. And then verse number 13 goes on to read, forgetting those things which are behind. See, we need to let go of some of those dead weights in our lives. God gives us a new purpose, does He not? The Apostle Paul had a new purpose for life, did he not? He said that I may know Him, that I might have a greater manifestation of God's power, that I might enter into the fellowship of His suffering. He had new purpose for life. And with that, the Apostle Paul said, well, I need to forget those things that are behind. And I need to press forward. And brethren, this evening, if we are to fulfill our life purpose, you and I need to be willing to let go of some of those dead weights in our lives. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, quickly. Verse number 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Note the distinction between weight and sin. There's a difference which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set, that God has set before us. So if we are to run that race, that fulfillment of that purpose in life, then brethren, this evening, we as God's people need to work out what is our purpose and have goals that harmonize with that purpose. And with those goals that harmonize with that purpose, we need to be prepared to let go of some of those dead weights that are holding us back. Fleshly relationships. Some of you have some relationships that are just dead. They're of no value. And you need to just let go. Let it go. There are some people in your life that are wasting your time and are distracting you from serving God wholeheartedly. You don't have to be unkind or unholy about it, but you need to just let go. Let go. Some of us are wasting time. Some of us are worshipping false gods. Vigorously and with concentration, Paul sought to win the prize that was before him. And he said, I am prepared to just let go of that past life. Let me have another dig at Facebook. Another problem that I have with such a method is that it reconnects you with the past. And I don't know about you, I do not want to be reconnected with the guys I used to play football with. No. And I don't want to be reconnected with some of the teenagers that I was in youth group with. And I don't want to be reconnected with some of the believers that I knew 15 years ago. See, we need to let the dead bury the dead, do we not? And the problem with such methods is it can bring up the past, and the past really shouldn't be brought up. Bury it! Thank God that I am where I am now! Why bring up the junk of the past? Why be reunited with some godless character that once you knew that was in church, but now he lives like the devil? What is the point of that? Let it die, brethren. Let it die. Things like Facebook just bring up the past. Everybody's going back to the past. Now I understand every now and again we get the little inkling with some and we're wondering, I wonder how they're doing. The truth be known, you probably don't want to know how they're doing. And really, if they're doing any good, you will probably know about it. Yeah. Amen, Pastor. That was a good point. Amen. You know, that's usually how it goes. I wonder how so-and-so is doing. Well, if you hear nothing, the probability is they're probably not doing as well as what you think. But if they're on fire for God and they love the Lord and they're winning souls, you'll probably find out. Yeah. Yes, amen, amen. Let the dead bury the dead. A mature Christian said to my wife this morning, I'm so glad Pastor preached against Facebook. This person said to my wife, Facebook ruined my life. An adult said that to my wife this morning following the service. An adult! A mature adult said, Facebook ruined my life! So please don't invite me to be a friend on your Facebook. What junk, honestly. Will you be one of my friends on my Facebook? I've got 442 friends. How sad is that? I have one pastor that's been hassling me for years. Delete, delete, delete. And I don't even know this guy. I met him once about 30 years ago. What rubbish! The guy never rings me. I've got no idea what he looks like now. I'm sure he doesn't know what I look like now. Well, maybe he does. He looks on our website, maybe. But how artificial is that? That's garbage stuff. May God help us to build real relationship face to face. And if you think that's where it's at, young people, you are sadly mistaken. That was free. All right? Okay. I feel good now. I've got it off my chest. Look at verse 14. He goes on to write, I press forward toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I see within this verse the Apostle Paul desiring to do his best. And may God help us to fulfill our purpose in life by just doing our best. In 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's do our best for the Lord. Let me ask you this evening, what are your goals for 2010? I challenge you to have some direction for your life. Don't just exist. Don't just exist spiritually. Have some goals for life. At least Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. That I may know Him. That I may have His power. That I may enter into the fellowship of His suffering. Have some purposes for life, brethren. Please. Live with purpose for the glory of God. Work out what is your purpose. And work out some goals that harmonize with that purpose. Don't just exist as a Christian. Live according to purpose. As a church family, we'll have some church goals by God's grace. A couple of the areas that I'd like to work on for 2010 are as follows. I'd like for us as a church family to have a half night of prayer once a term. You might say, well, Pastor, what about a full night's of prayer? Well, I think if we can perfect our half night of prayer, we can move on to full nights of prayer one day. I've been to too many full nights of prayer, of which I've wished it was only an hour of prayer. Let's work on a half night of prayer once a term. It's in your yearly calendar. And I challenge you to join us as we schedule those Friday night prayer meetings from 8 till midnight and pray. That's one of our goals. a half night of prayer, a prayer meeting once a term. Lord willing, this year we'll also have the goal of hosting a holiday Bible club from the 13th to the 15th of April. I tossed and turned whether to have a 3-day or a 4-day, and in your calendar, there are 4 days, but really it's only 3 days. The two just didn't connect, I'm sorry. So it should be the 13th to the 15th, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, holiday Bible club. Do you realise that Greenwich Public School, they had 90 new kindergarten children? At Lake Oak West School, they had 100 new kindergarten children. Now, I don't know how many new children entered the Lake Oak Main School, but the Lane Cove Main School is bigger than the Greenwich and Lane Cove West put together, to my knowledge. So you can just imagine. The point I'm trying to make is, brethren, this place is swarming with children. 15 years ago, when I took over as pastor, to see a child was a rare commodity. It was. Most people were 60 above. But things have changed a lot in the last 15 years. Children are everywhere, and it's our responsibility to reach them for Christ. So I want you to pray with us and get involved in a holiday Bible club this year. We're going to take care of some church building upgrades. Take care of our roof. It needs some attention. And Lord willing, take care of these church pews. Don't look too hard. They need some TLC. They've done well, but... So we're going to take care of some church upgrades, the facilities, the house of God. Another church goal we have is to send Sister Lilia to Ecuador and make sure she gets there in one piece. You pray with us. That's a church goal. It's important that God's house sends forward missionaries. So you pray with us that we'll better send her to Ecuador and that she'll get there and stay there. And God will use them mightily. That's a goal for 2010. Also, I'd like for our music ministry to move forward. Go on to the next level. The music ministry to press forward. We'll say more in the weeks to come. Also, the book, chapter, verse ministry. I want it to go forward in 2010. I've got some ideas. But just get ready for them. I want that ministry to go forward. We need to get more good material out there. So these are some main church goals that we'll have here. And I want you to jump on board and join with us. Personally, may I challenge you to seek to pray an hour a day? The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, could you not pray for 1 hour? Pastor, I can never do that. Well, you won't if that's your attitude. Let me encourage you once again in 2010 to read through your Bible. To read through your Bible once a year is the least that we ought to do. And let me encourage you once to memorize Scripture at least 2 verses a month. Yes, you can do it. Another personal goal I'd like to challenge you all to take part in is, we didn't get to this one last year, but we'll try again this year, but about tracking our area where we live. Tracking our local community, the gospel tracks. So these are just some goals, and we'll say more in the weeks and months to come, so fear not. But the point I'm trying to make is that we need to live life with purpose. What are your goals for life? Oh, we have worldly goals, do we not? Why not have some spiritual goals? Let's press forward for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul lived with what? Purpose. And he demonstrated that purpose by setting some goals. May God help us to do likewise. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you.